Now, again, Basil, as in many of his policies, could look back to emperors as early as 922, who legislated on behalf of holders of military tenures, as they're usually known, that is, soldiers under the old arrangement of the themes, who had received land in return for military service, as well as peasants. And the language is often quite vague exactly what peasants are meant. Are these the absolute impoverished? Are they a higher class of peasants? But in whatever their exact identity, the great military and economic transformation of the Byzantine Empire in the 10th and 11th centuries had caused social tensions. Many of the peasant properties were being bought out by large landowners. This would include imperial officials, members of the high clergy, also army officers. And it endangered the recruiting and equipping of theme armies. It potentially endangered the imperial government's access to its tax base. And Basil's reign is a climax to a series of laws to curtail the power of these landed magnates. Much of this legislation came in the wake of those two great eastern revolts I had mentioned earlier. The revolt of Bardas Skellerus in 976-978, and then of Bardas Phocas in 986-989. These were both commanders of the Eastern Army. They were known as the Domestics of the East. And these rebellions, which were backed by the Eastern Army, caused Basil to move in and break the power of the landlords. And there were a number of provisions in these. They're called novels or new laws by Basil to do so. One was to assign to the wealthy taxpayers the obligation to pay tax on all vacant lands in the area. This used to be an assessment that was pushed off onto the weaker taxpayers as a way of ruining them so the landowners could take it over. There were rules on holding markets, on holding fairs. There was very strict enforcement of how land would succeed. That is, military tenures could not go into the hands of great landowners. These were pretty elaborate legislation. There's also a couple of remarks that Basil used terror to enforce the laws. In one instance, he was traveling in Asia Minor and found out that a high official of state was actually a peasant who had bought out all the properties of the surrounding village, had turned himself into a minor lord over his fellow peasants, and Basil immediately demoted him back to his original rank. This is a sort of way of emphasizing that you could do this, and the fact that he was surrounded by all those Varangian guards, those Scandinavian axemen, helped. By strict enforcement of these laws, Basil really did ensure the supremacy of not just the emperor, but Constantinople. The capital did maintain control over those provinces. And many of the landed magnates, even though they may have suffered under some of these laws, or more likely were curtailed in the areas they could expand, the amount of properties they could buy, nonetheless found that if they wanted to have a success, they had to go to Constantinople, they had to be at court, they had to take positions, and there's a constant exchange between the provinces and the capital. And the capital of the empire really was the center of the empire. And this is a tribute to Basil. Ensure that Constantinople would remain the great capital, and he had carved out that second heartland. And those are two very important consequences. As for land legislation, well, that didn't survive long after his death, but we'll deal with that in another lecture. Now, Basil, as I said, was also important because of his relationships with Western Europeans and also with the Muslim powers. And I'd like to look at the Western European situation first. We will be spending some time on discussing in more detail Western evolution, the so-called Carolingian Empire of Charlemagne, the first great synthesis of Roman and Germanic institutions into a Christian political order in the 9th century. But for our purposes right now, Basil II looked at the Western Europeans with rather mixed feelings. In some sense, the Western Europeans were very useful allies. Basil succeeded to a long tradition of cooperating with popes, and various Western European princes in Italy, particularly the Lombard princes of Benevento, Salerno, in fighting the Muslim pirates from North Africa and Sicily. These were very complicated alliances. They had been pursued since the late 9th century. There's even a case where the Empress Zoe Carbospina and the Pope put together a composite army to defeat a major Arabic force in southern Italy in 915.